will be chanting 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita from verse 50 to verse 61. Verse to 50 to 61. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanura Marganam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum Siddhim Prapto Yatha Brahma Tathapnoti Nibodhame Samase Naiva Kaunteya Nishtha Jnanasya Yapara Buddhya Vishuddhaya Yukto Dhrityatmanam Niyamyacha Shabdadin Vishayam Stiyatva Ragadvishau Vidasyacha Viviktasevi Lagvashi Yatavakaya Manasaha Dhyana Yoga Paro Nityam Vairagyam Samupashrita Ahamkaram Balam Darpam Kamam Krodham Parigraham Vimuchya Nirmamah Shanto Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kamshati Samah Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati Vanyascha Smitatvataha Tato Mam Tatvato Gnatva Vishati Tadanantaram Sarva Karmanyapi Sada Kurvano Madhyapashrayaha Matprasada Dhavapnoti Shashvatam Padamavyayam Chetasa Sarva Karmani Mai Sanyasya Matpara Buddhi Yoga Mupashritya Machitta Satatam Bhava Machitta Sarva Durgani Matprasada Tarishyasi Atha Chitva Mahankarat Nasroshyasi Vinanshyasi Yadahankaram Ashritya Nayochya Iti Manyasi Mithyaisha Vyavasayaste Prakritistvam Niyokshyati Svabhavajena Kaunteya Nibaddhasvena Karmana Kartum Nichyasi Yanmohat Karishyasya Vashopita Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Prithesherjuna Tishthati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rudani Mayaya. So what were the important points that we discussed yesterday? Important points. What were the points? We said spiritual progress is a progress from a lower guna to a higher guna. From tamas to rajas to sattva guna. That is what has to be done. How to do it? This is the theory. How to do it in practice? Each one of us are in a peculiar position at any given time. So, whatever situation we are in, at whichever time, that is that dharma we have to do. If we discharge our duties in the proper way, then we get happiness. But if we discharge the same duties with an special attitude of mind, what is it?
Worship
of God, then it will lead to spiritual progress. If we do it just as a discharge of duty, then that leads to what is technically called abhyudaya. But if we do the same thing with a spiritual attitude, that leads to nishreyasa. Now, what is the speciality of nishreyasa? Abhyudaya doesn't include liberation, but liberation includes all the other happinesses. See, $1 million includes $1, $100, $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, everything. But if it is only $100,000, it doesn't include $1 million. People fail to understand. Why? Because there is a reason for that. And that reason is, you see, most of the spiritual people, they don't go after the worldly happiness. So, normal people do not understand. They think that since these people are not enjoying normal things, that must be the condition for liberation. It is nothing to do. Also, they have very peculiar idea. What is that peculiar? Do you know what is that peculiar idea? I don't. Let me narrate one incident. When we went to St. Louis, Swami Chaitanandaji was narrating. He went to one place, and there was what happened in that place. There was a man who had a son, and this mother of that boy left that man. And ever since that time, that father was miserable. So the boy was coming to know that my father is miserable. Why? Because my mom has left him. What is the conclusion? Any man who doesn't have a wife is a miserable fellow. So the boy was brought to Swami Chaitanananda. And then as soon as the boy saw Chaitanananda, he said, "Swami, you are a miserable man." Swami was, perhaps for the first time in his life, anybody pointed out the truth. So boldly that you are a miserable man. Then the Swami asked, "Why?" This boy said, "Because you have no wife." You know how our perceptions are. Then Swami said, "But you know, I tell jokes, I laugh, I make you laugh." Boy said, "Yes, that is true. You are not so miserable as I thought." You know, this is the perception people have about spiritual people. Especially, you find spiritual people, monks and sadhus, sannyasins like that. They don't have a house, they don't have wife, they don't have children. And on the contrary, those who have got wife, children, husbands and all that, by implication, they are not spiritual. They are not spiritual. Somebody said they are not happy. What a wonderful this thing. Yeah.
Not happy. I
said. Speak for yourself. Though I side with you inside. Okay, what is the point we are discussing now? People have everywhere, they think spiritual bliss and worldly happiness are incompatible, which is not absolutely true. That spiritual happiness includes all happiness. Why does a man not eat sweets, Well, he says, why are you eating sweets? Why do you eat sweets? Because you want happiness, isn't it? So why do you get married? You want happiness. Why do you get divorced?
More happiness.
You want more happiness.
More happiness. This is the truth. This is the truth. So all people do is for happiness. And if somebody is getting happiness without all this, going through this via media, who is more wise? That is what spiritual life is about. But spiritual people also enjoy worldly things much, much more. Why? Because, just I will give an example. Suppose you eat a sweet, you get happiness. But suppose you offer that sweet to Thakur, and eat it as prasada. Now, do you get more happiness or not? You get more happiness. And also, something is there. Even a diabetic fellow also eats prasada. You ask him, are you eating sweets? He said, no. Who told you I am eating sweets? I am eating prasada. Yeah. Not only that, one devotee told me in Houston. He is highly diabetic and he always wants to eat sweets. Unfortunately, his wife is one of the best sweetmeat makers. So whenever I go, she makes, you know, all those sweets and all those things. He says, he will sit by my side and say, then I asked him, that why do you eat sweets? He said, first of all, he said, Swami, I am not eating sweet, I am eating prasada. Second, he said, if I don't eat sweet, Thakur will not eat. Why? Because he told that I eat through my devotees. And if I don't eat, I am depriving him of eating sweets. I said, okay. So, what is the point I am trying to make? Spirituality doesn't remove our worldly happiness. It gives pure happiness without all the troubles we go through. That is right. That is what is called offering everything to God. That's why marriage is a sacrament. It has become sacred. I will talk very, very briefly about, you know, every religion has got sacraments. Baptism, marriage usually. But Hindus have got at least 42 sacraments in life. Some of them we know, most of the things people do not do it. Orthodox people, very few people do it. Most of, you know that marriage is a sacrament. And at the 8th month, Simanti Karana. No, Garbhadana. Garbhadana. When husband and wife come together after marriage, that is a separate sacrament. Then Simanti Karana, at about 8th, they part this hair like that and put kumkuma, etc. Simanti Karana. Then when a child is born, that then there is a ceremony. Then when the child is to be named, Namakarana. Then when the child first Mundana, that is another sacrament. Then when the child has to be given first solid food at 6 months' time, uncalled Annaprashana. Then when the child, as if it is a Brahmin, then the sacred thread, etc., Upanayana, Samskara. Then of course there is Samavartana for those. Samavartana means when he is returning from the Gurukula, then another ceremony. Then of course, then this Vivaha ceremony is there. Then one last one is there, that is called Shraddha or Antyeshti. Antya. But that will not be done. Some of these things will not be done by the person, but it will be done by others for him. So, these are only major things I have told you. That so many minor things, altogether about 42 samskaras are there, Hindus. Now, what is the purpose of these sacraments? You say, every event that takes place in a Hindu's life is a sacred enactment. It is a spiritual act. So we spiritualize our life. And you know, those who are Brahmins, they get sacred thread. Sacred thread usually consists of three strands of thread. They could be two times, three times, they put the makes this sacred thread and wear with the mantra. Three is important. Three. What are those three? What is the significance of symbolism of those three?
The three sharinas.
Three control over the three, purity over the three. Three means stola sharira, sukshma sharira karanas. Control over our thoughts, our speech, and our action. Above all, remember the goal of life, which is to go to God. That's why they are called dvijas. Dvija means twice born, second time born. And in this connection also, I mentioned that even devotees are also dvijas. A devotee who is initiated is a dvija. So, first time, biological birth. Second time, spiritual birth. So, every birth must have parents. So, spiritual birth means who are the parents? Say, in the Ramakrishna order, it is say Ramakrishna is our father and Holy Mother is our mother. Never forget that. Then, third birth. What is the third birth? Sannyasa. Then, Mahavakya becomes the mother and Guru becomes the father there. So now, what are we talking about? Third birth. Every devotee must be a monk in the mind. So, what about the sannyasa people like me take? This is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. I don't like to be tied down with anything. So, I want to lead. I am quite happy to be alone. But that doesn't mean that all sannyasins are spiritual people. It doesn't mean all married people are miserable people. Every married person can be a monk, especially a devotee, mentally. The moment you take initiation, you are already a monk. What type of monk? The Lord Krishna tells, Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam Sannyasam. Just we read here. In the 18th chapter, giving up what is called kamya karmas, action specifically motivated by specific type of desires. We have to give up. And whatever situation we are in, that would be our duty. We have to discharge our duties. This is what, if we do it with faith and in the way it has to be done efficiently, then we get happiness, punya, dharma. That is what dharma. Dharma, special meaning is discharging our duties properly. But there is a special meaning just now we discussed. If it is done as a aradhana of God, then it leads, it gives both happiness as well as it also gives us slowly we overcome tamas to rajas to sattvaguna. Sattva means what? It's very near to God. Sattvaguna means very near to God. So, this is what we discussed. Then the question comes, sometimes some type of duties are by nature very painful, even negatively looked upon. For example, a soldier's duty, killing. He is given a gun. Are in the air from the aeroplane, you know, bombing of Japan. The question comes, is this person committing a sin? No. Actually, he is discharging. That is what the Lord says, your duty, O Arjuna, is at this time. Don't connect this for whole life. Arjuna was not going to fight for all his years only in fighting. This particular time he is involved in fighting. So, discharge that duty properly because it is your duty to protect good people from evil people. Eliminate the evil. That is the dharma of the kshatriya, a warrior class. Okay? So, there are certain things which we have to do. Supposing an evil person, a drug trafficker, is shot dead. Is it a sinful action or not? Don't give a facile answer. It depends upon what is the motive. Suppose a police officer who knows this is an evil man shoots him for the good of the other people, then he would not incur sin. But supposing a man says, this man did not supply me drug, so I will finish him off. Though apparently it looks like a good act, the motivation is not good. Therefore, inside each one of us, God has implanted a CCTV. So, don't think that you turn the photo of God towards the wall and he is not looking. Because he has implanted CCTV. And then he gave the power also to the CCTV. So give him the appropriate reward. Either happiness or unhappiness. Either reward him or punish him. This is the law of karma. So this is what the Lord is trying to tell. There is no action which is absolutely without blemish. There is no action which is full of blemish. Every action is a mixture of good and evil. Why this teaching? Because doubt comes in the discharge of any duty. If some good comes, some bad also comes out of it. It's a, you know, when you are frying nice pakodas, then you see what is the good, that the person who is eating, he will enjoy it. But maybe some small insect is flying there and you fry it. So you may be getting some protein, I don't know, indirectly. But what about that creature? That's why Jains, you know, they put that mask so that they won't kill. And they don't want to walk after sunset. As though if they walk in sunlight, no creature is going to die. If you take one spoonful of water and examine it, there will be so many jivatmas. Yeah, praying for you. Praying not for you, praying to you. Do not kill us like that. What is your first class? South Indians like yogurt. What is yogurt? You see, it is impossible to live without killing. But we have to kill, that is, there is no sin. But the motivation should be, I do this only because I have to survive. There is no other way. That's my life. So how to avoid? First of all, do only what is absolutely necessary. Secondly, dedicate everything to God. You know, that is why we do Brahmarpanam. So if there is any harm done, then it will turn out to be spiritual. Not only we should do Brahmarpanam at the time of eating. When you buy anything new, first thing you have to do is to offer it to God. Whether it be a flower, a fruit, a sari, a car. But don't offer it to a Swami. Yeah. Don't offer it to a Swami. Because once something goes into the hands of the Swami, you are not going to get it back. Yeah, but you want to take advantage of the Swami. We are all victims of devotees' excess devotion. They buy a car, they want to enjoy it, and so they ask Swami, use it. Why? Because they will be avoiding accidents and somebody else stealing their cars and all those things. Only first time they say, use it. After that, they don't ask. But at the point we are discussing, every action is beset with good and evil, knowingly or unknowingly. In fact, every householder commits 5 sins every day. You know, while pasting, while, you know, that powdering, while cooking, etc. They have mentioned. That is why every householder's duty is to do this. So, 5 types of pancha mahayagnas. That is also to remove that. What is the point? Let us do everything as to please the Divine Lord. That is the idea. yesterday also I specifically mentioned three types of dharmas. What is that? One's personal dharma, family dharma, and also society dharma. We are all related. Sannyasins have got two dharmas. Only personal as well as society. No family dharma is there. So, but we have got our own obligation. That's why a sannyasi has to live absolutely pure life. There is a beautiful story. I think I mentioned it to you. I don't remember. Sri Ramakrishna mentions. There was a drama performance. There was a man who had to act as a monk. He acted it so well that one of the audience, who was a rich man, he called him and said, "Oh, I appreciate your acting. Here is a rupee. Please take it." He said, "No, I will not accept it." "Okay, if you don't accept." So he went inside, took the green room, changed his dress of the monk, and came back as a in his original dress, householder dress. Sorry, not original dress. Nativity dress. So he came and then he said, "Give me that rupee." The man said, "But when I offered, you didn't take it." He said, "No, I couldn't take it because I was in a monk's dress. I can't take it. But now I am in a householder's dress, so I can take it." See, what a beautiful lesson. So, if a householder discharges his duty, if a monk discharges his duty, then society would be in a much better condition. But now imagine that the earth is going to be heaven. It is not going to happen. There will be good people, there will be also evil people. That is the nature of things. We have to, consciously we should not do evil. But when evil comes, it also does some good. That is why the Lord always says that this world is a world of duality. Duality means good and bad. This heat and cold, happiness and unhappiness, life and death, etc. Okay, what is the important point here? By discharging one's own duty in a spirit, in the spirit of worship, a man can progress in spiritual life. What is the second point we discussed? Every action is beset with some kind of evil. The implication the Lord is telling is, some of us may think, "Oh, if only I do that duty, it would be very nice." No, what does the Lord say? Swadharma. Swadharma means what? One's own duty. This is allotted for each one of us particularly. It may change from time to time. For example, what is the duty of a student? To watch movies. Yeah. What is the duty of the teacher? He has to teach. So he could not, supposing a teacher says, "I won't teach you in the public school, but you come to my home and have a private tuition." Then what happens? A doctor also says, "I won't give you correct treatment in the hospital, but come to my private clinic. I will give you some." Not only that, this rogue takes the medication from hospital also and then sells it, charges it for. There are quite a number of doctors. There are so many ways of illegal ways. And then they have these doctors form. If any doctors are there, please don't take offense at my words. If there are doctors, they will form a gang. And then they will say that, you know, whenever a patient comes to me, I will tell that I need x-rays and this, yes, these things and that thing. And then a percentage cut will come to me. Yes. Especially in India, it is a very common thing. So, so many ways of the lawyers is the worst fellows on earth. They are lawyers. Anyway, I tell you a nice story. You know, one man was dying. And doctor told him, "There is not much time left. Do you have a last wish?" He said, "Yes, I want to, then, you know, my doctor and then my lawyer, I want them to come to me, personal." So both of them came. And then he said, doctor asked, why do you want to call your own doctor? He said, you know, I want to die like Jesus Christ in between two thieves who robbed. This doctor robbed my life. My lawyer robbed all my bank balance. So, if each one is conscious about the duty, then only society will be very as good as it could ever be. The same thing applies in a family. What is a family? A small replica of the society. The husband has husband's duties. Wife has wife's duties. Children have children's duties. Ashramas also have their own duties. Monks have their own duties. Brahmacharis have their own duties. So what is the point the Lord is telling? That we let us try to discharge our own duties to the best of our ability. We might commit some mistakes, but not with intention, but offer them to God in the spirit of worship. Then it will do good to everyone. But unfortunately, society doesn't work that way. Those who have advantage, they want to take advantage of the mistake. Okay. Then the Lord is also narrating certain things we have to do, certain qualities we have to develop. And you see, buddhya, vishuddhaya, yukto, dhrutya, atmanam, niyamyacha, shabdadin, vishyantyaktva, etc., etc. Only verse 52, if you want to refer. Vivikta sevi lagvashi, yata vakkaya manasaha, dhyana yoga paro nityam, vairagyam samupashrita. Vivikta sevi, love of solitude. Sri Ramakrishna's third commandment. What is it? Now and then go into solitude. This is very, very important, because what is solitude? Solitude is not a place, as we think, which is free from disturbing noises or free from people. That is the external meaning. You go to a solitary place. There is nobody, no noise, very calm, no people. That's not the meaning. Sri Ramakrishna used a beautiful word, nirjan. Nirjan means, you know, jana means people. Nirjan means no people. No people means there is no person on earth who can help me. You know, they may be by the side, but many times they can't help me. Who can help you to sleep? Can anybody help you to sleep? In fact, if anybody is there by your side, I still remember when I was a small child, my grandmother came. I was a small boy, I think 4 or 5 years old. My grandmother came, mother's mother. And I was put in her bed. And whole night I couldn't sleep. Because, you know, so I must have gone to sleep and then must have moved in my sleep. Immediately she thought I was frightened or something. She was putting on my back, go to sleep, go to sleep. And how can I go to sleep? And then I was making, and more she was doing. So, I remember a cartoon. It's a librarian. He has got an hathodi, you know, hammer. Every 2 minutes, silence. He was banging the table. Silence. Okay. Vivikta sevi means now and then go to solitude. Means you feel, O Lord, accepting you, there is nobody for me. This is the truth. We have to, sooner or later, to understand it. Then, laghvashi. Laghu, ashi means eating a small quantity. Sri Ramakrishna saying, daytime you eat more, but night time eat lightly. Jol khabar motha, like drinking water, means very light. Yata vak kaya manasa, controlling vak, speech. Kaya means action. Manasa means thought, control. Dhyana yoga paro nityam. always try to meditate, think of, practice the presence of God. Vairagyam samupashrita. You must have that dispassion. What is dispassion? Again, let us not take dispassion that you renounce the world and then run away. What it means is, whatever you want to achieve and whatever is standing in the path of your achievement, give them up. That's all. In the path of your goal, let it be even physical, you want to be a doctor and so many obstructions coming. You know, you want to go watch football, you want to watch movies, you want to chit chat with friends, then you are not going to achieve your goal. What is Vairagyam? Give up those things so that you will achieve your goal nicely. But in this spiritual context, what it means is, whatever is standing in the way of our spiritual progress, we should try to give them up. That is what it means. Then, of course, ahamkaram balam darpam kamam krodham parigraham vimuchya nirmama shanto brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Ahamkaram means kartrutva abhimana and voktrutva abhimana. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. You are not, just a few verses back we said, who is doing? Prakriti. Who is enjoying? Again, Prakriti. What have you got to do with that? Nothing to do. But we are thinking, I am eating. You are not eating. Your mouth is eating. Who is bringing food to the mouth? The hands are bringing. Who is digesting? The stomach is digesting. So, your stomach doesn't belong to you and your hands do not belong to you. And your mouth doesn't belong to you. The food doesn't belong to you. So who is providing the food? God is providing. Where did he say? 15th chapter. Somo bhutva prasatmakaha. I create all the helps, etc. And then who is digesting? 5th chapter. Aham vaishvanaro bhutva pradinam deham ashritaha. So he gives, supplies food. He eats and he is digesting. Where do you come in? Unnecessarily. That's why you poke your nose and you suffer. This is what is kama, krodha, parigraha. You become free from all these type of things. Then what happens? You become nirmamaha. Namaha means what? Nirmamaha. Nirmama, nirmama means what? Na mama. Not mine. Not mine means namaha. Namaha means what?
You.
Not mine.
Not maha, not mine. Everything belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. That should be the attitude. Such a person, what does he become? Brahma bhuyaya kalpate. He is fit to become Brahman. So, when a person is advancing spiritually, how do we know he is really making advances in spiritual life? Says Brahma Bhutaha Prasannatma. He is always pleased. Pleased. Prasanna. That's why Prasade Sarvadukkhanam Hanihi Asya Upajayate. What is Prasada? That which makes the mind Prasanna is Prasada. After eating prasada, you get very angry, then it is not prasada. Devotees quarrel about prasada. Swami, he was two steps, all the rasagullas prasada is over, and I was two steps behind. Worse is, I am just the last man. The man before me, he took away all the last rasagulla. Nothing, only batasha is. You know, they quarrel about prasada.
Yeah.
Hare? See, prasada means kanika matra. Just little. Take just a little. That is all. Don't quarrel. If it is prasada, you don't complain. Even if it is uncooked, even if it is unsalted, you should not complain.
No.
Because Sri Ramakrishna did not complain. Did you hear Sri Ramakrishna complaining? So, what right have you got to complain? That's why keep quiet. Later on, when the devotees ask, press, then I might tell, but, you know, you should add a little salt or you should not add so much salt and other things. Trepidation, lot of trepidation. So what this means? Prasannatma. Nashochati. That means if an unhappy incident takes place, this man who is advanced in spiritual life, what does he do? He doesn't grieve. Nakangshati. He doesn't desire. Why? He says, whatever is necessary, God will bring to me. I don't need it. I don't know. Samaha sarveshu bhuteshu. He is equanimous with every human, not only human being, non-human being. The wonderful example of Ramana Maharshi always comes to my mind. Even at the risk of taking some time, I repeat this incident. You know, he used to treat animals, cows, and there was one cow, Lakshmi. And when idli, South Indian ashrama, they make idli, everybody will get equal. Nobody will get more, nobody will get less. Otherwise, Ramana Maharshi will not eat. So, a cow will be given one idli. So, one day the manager, the cow came, it comes and it will not take from anybody. It will take only from Bhagavan. Somehow, that tremendous devotion, and Bhagavan used to say, it is a great spiritual person, this is her last life. So, one day it was exhausted. So he called manager and said, what happened to this Lakshmi's idli? One used to be kept. So it used to be given in the afternoon because it used to go morning for grazing. When it comes, it will straight come and it won't go to the stall. Wonderful story. A cow stall has been constructed and it is everything is over. They did puja also. And then they said, they asked Lakshmi, it won't go. It is simply resisting. Then Ramana Maharshi said, you know, Lakshmi will not go. She wants me to go. So he started going. Immediately, Lakshmi followed. So much of faith. We also don't have that much of faith. Such a great soul was there. Then the incident that happened was, he treats, even if a dog is there, he will treat exactly. He won't even call it a dog. He says, Tara. Tara means they, respectable term. Yeah. Viru. In Telugu, Ivaru. That is what he says. The way address. Because he sees God in everything. What happened? One dog adopted the ashrama and it is his policy. Once it doesn't leave, don't drive it away. It has come, like any one of you, it will stay like that. I don't mean that. Like everybody else. Then, you know, this was a female dog. It gave birth to puppies. One puppy, whenever these people are eating breakfast, idli, then immediately it will come. And Bhagavan will give exactly its portion. And he will. So one day, it's a small puppy. And what happened? It made some nuisance in the veranda. The manager, Niranjananda Swami, got very angry. So he simply asked somebody to drag it away. So next morning, it was still there in the ashrama. Next day, breakfast time came and all sat. Everybody was served. And the rule was, only when Bhagavan eats, everybody will start eating. Otherwise, no. So he noticed there was no puppy. Every day it used to come. He used to sit like that. A peculiar neck like that and side. So he was looking. Everybody is looking at each other. It took some time. Then he hit the manager that Bhagavan will not eat, so other devotees will not eat unless that puppy is brought. So puppy was brought, it was given the idli, then Bhagavan started eating. Then the manager learned his lesson. Afterwards, he will never drive anything away. What a concern it was, you know. So that he used to look upon everything. So, samam sarveshu Bhuteshu. You see, he did not say Nareshu. Only human beings. Every being. How was Holy Mother looking after that cow calf? You know?
Oh,
as soon as it cries, Hamba, like that, Aschi Baba, I am coming, my son. And then she will unrope it. Then simply it goes to mother and then drinks the milk. After that, the devotees come and complain. You let the calf drink all the milk. And where is the milk for us? She used to say, whatever is there, is you make it all right. Anyway, so that is called Samam Sarveshu Bhuteshu. What about that parrot?
Gangara.
It conditioned Holy Mother. Yeah. It understood, if I cry Ma, nuts will come. And whenever it wants nuts, all that is Ma, like that it has to cry. Immediately, mother will get up there, Baba, wait a little, and then she takes the nuts and then gives. This is the, even though sometimes we don't see them treating animals, etc., with that, like Ramana Maharshi, but inside, they all look upon it as what? Brahman. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman in their eyes. And perhaps you also recollect the story of the catfish, Magurmach, of Sri Ramakrishna. Kamarpur. Do you know that? You know, rainy season, Sri Ramakrishna was at Kamarpur, and then one day there was a flood. So much that the tank and the normal ground became filled with water. So Sri Ramakrishna was moving about and they were catching fish because all the that tank fish, they could not make any distinction. This is tank and then this is ground. So one big fish suddenly came, started moving round and round Sri Ramakrishna's feet. So he took compassion and then by pushing it, he pushed it into the tank. Ramakrishna's humor. So after that he came and he was giving a graphic blow by blow description of the fish, how big it was, how wonderful it was looking, and then Hriday asked, Mama, what happened? What happened? I pushed it into the Mama ki kurli. You know, I was thinking, what did you do? The disaster that happened. If only you had called me. He said, no, that fish took refuge at my feet. Yeah. So, all this, how a saint looks upon even Nagamahashaya, how he looked about that, you know, those
woodworms
are what we call it?
Termites.
Many of these are stories. I am not going to tell you now. What it means is Samaha Sarveshu Bhuteshu. When a person practices these characteristics, then he says, Mad Bhaktim Labhate. He obtains supreme devotion towards me. And through that devotion, he will come to know who I am, what is my relationship with him, and then he will enter into me. Enter into me means what? He will become one with me. So that is why he says, Sarva karmanyapi sada kurvano mad vyapashtayaha mat prasadat avapnoti shashvatam padam avyayam. Whatever actions a devotee does, so what does he do? He does it with great care, with devotion, and then he offers it, those actions to me. When a devotee offers all his actions to me, as a result of that, he obtains my grace. Mat prasada. What does this grace of God do? What does grace do? He says, the Lord is telling, Mat prasada, shashvatam avyayam padam apnoti. He attains that state which is eternal, which is indestructible. What is that state? Himself. He becomes me. He becomes me.
Yeah.
And God is free. That is what he becomes. Chetasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya matparaha buddhi yogam upasritya mat chitta satatam. So the Lord Krishna is advising Arjuna in the, he's concluding the whole lessons of the Gita. Slowly he's coming to the end. He says that you renounce all the results of actions to me. You do every action as a worship of mine. If you are devoted to me, I am your supreme goal. If you go on doing this, then your mind will always be with me. It remains with me. Mat chitta satatam. Satatam means what?
Always.
That means it can never think anything else excepting me. So once your mind is always remembering me, what happens? Mat prasada, by my grace, sarva durgani tarishyasi. You will overcome all difficulties. There will be no difficulty at all. Even if there be a difficulty, you will overcome that difficulty by God's grace. If God's grace comes, can there be any difficulty? There is the story of Hanuman. Hanuman, you know, when the question of who is going to cross the ocean and reach Lanka and come back again to bring the news of Sita. When that question came, who was able to fly? Only one. Hanuman alone was able to fly. But how was he able to fly? Only because of Rama's grace. That is why Rama specially had given him as a sign, one ring. Rama's ring. Because Sita will ask, who are you? I say, I am Hanuman. Who are you? I am Rama's servant. How do I know that you are Rama's servant? Where is the visa? You know, your passport is okay. Where is the visa? So some identity should be there. And why did Sri Rama give to Hanuman? Why did Sri Rama give this to Hanuman? Because he will be able to cross. You know, Sri Rama already knew. Of all the people, only Hanuman will be able to cross. And how does he know that Hanuman will be able to cross? Because he had already said that by my grace, you will be able to cross and then go to Sita and then also come back to give the news. Then that's what exactly Hanuman had done. Anyway, for those who have not heard, I'm going to narrate a funny story about this. You know, Sita's news came. Sita is there under the Ashoka Vana, and Hanuman came, gave the news. Then Rama, along with Sugriva's army, reached the shore of the ocean. Then bridge has to be built. How are you going to build the bridge? Because it is a huge effort. Then somebody told, Ram Nam is so great. Rama's name. Bhavasagara Para Utari. So one can cross the ocean of samsara. What is this Kuchika ocean? It is nothing. It is a small one. So somebody suggested it has to be tested. So Hanuman took up a small stone and wrote Rama and put it. It started floating. Then he brought one big one and wrote Rama and put. Then he brought some. Such a huge one, wrote Rama and put it there. They started floating. And then he said, why bother about all these stones? So he simply has uprooted so many mountains and then started putting it one after the other. Rama was watching it and he said, wah, wah, what a great man I am. My very name, these stones are floating. How great. But he never experimented with his own name. He became curious. Let me also do my own self. So Nobody was there. He was looking like this. Nobody was there nearby. He took a small stone and wrote Rama and left it straight to the bottom. So Rama looked. He was ashamed because you know everybody else was doing it, and he himself failed in that. But Hanuman was very watchful. Immediately he jumped and said, came like this. Hanuman, did you see what I did? Yes, I was observing. Can you explain? Very Rama was Gambhira. Give a delivery lecture on that. Why it happened. Then Hanuman said, Lord, you are Parabrahma. You are the Lord. With your own hands, if you have left anything, where else will it go? It will go to Adhogati. That's why it has been. Ah, Hanuman. Excellent. Face saved. That is why it is said, Ram Nam is even more powerful than Rama himself. That is why some saint has said, I don't need Rama. Just I have Ram Nam. That is more than enough. What is the point here? Point is, according to us, God and His name are not two separate things. Nam, Nama and Namni are one and the same. You have God's name, you have God. You have God, you have also God's name. So, Pada and Artha, both are same things. That is the idea. That's why you chant God's name. You chant the mantra given by your guru. You will be absolutely okay. Anyway, what is the point we are treating here? That if you always remember God and do everything as a worship of God, then you will obtain my grace. When you obtain my grace, what happens? Two things happen. First, you overcome all difficulty. Second, what happens? By my grace, you will attain to that highest position without the least effort. This is the teaching that sustains millions and millions and millions and millions of devotees of God even today. Chant Hare Rama mantra, chant Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, chant Thakur's name, chant Holy Mother's name, chant any God's name. Or chant Jesus mantra. You know Jesus mantra?
Yes.
Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is the mantra uttered by the pilgrim, Russian pilgrim. And he attained absolute liberation through God's grace. Okay. Then Sri Krishna is giving final advice to him and says, you know Arjuna, everybody is bound by his nature. And everybody's nature will make him do that particular activity according to his nature. So you if you think that you will transgress that law and then say, okay, I am an exception. I am not going to do my duty. I will do another person's duty. Is it going to happen? It's not going to happen. Kartum nechasi and moha karishyasi avashopita avashah. Why avashah? Very interesting. Avashah means what? Inexorably, helplessly, you will do your own duty. You know why? Because you are not the doer. Who is the doing? Prakriti is doing. And Prakriti will do anyway its activity. Who the hell are you to think that I will stop? You have no hand in it. It is God's will that Prakriti or nature should do its activities. It is doing. Your body does its activity. You have no control over it. Then he is telling, he is coming to this most wonderful point. Why can't we do it? Why Prakriti or nature wants to control us? It is not controlling you. Who the hell are you? It is controlling itself. The body belongs to whom? To Prakriti. The mind belongs to whom? To Prakriti. And body and mind, the Prakriti belongs to whom? To God. So God is playing with himself. Where from are you springing and say, this is me, this is me? That is a wrong thing to do. One should never do it. See how it is filled? This 61st verse, most wonderful verse. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddhe shirjuna tishthati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudani mayaya. So, we are all compared to puppets. Who moves the puppets? Puppeteer. A puppeteer moves. What do the puppets say? We are moving. It is called ahankara. And that ahankara is mithya. It is completely false. It doesn't work. So God is sitting. Where is he sitting? In the hearts of every being. Even a small insect. In its heart, God is sitting. And it is this God is moving that particular insect. Can the insect do something else? It can only do what it is supposed to do. That is the most wonderful law. What is the Lord driving us? What is ahankara? Ahankara means egotism. Egotism means what? I am the doer, I am the experiencer. Enjoyer means not enjoyment. Enjoyment, experiencer. It could be happiness, it could be also unhappiness. Experiencer. So, but we think I am experiencing it. It is my head. So, if I say it is my head, who will suffer the headache? I have to suffer my headache. But if it is your head, who will suffer the headache? So, better say, oh Lord, this is your head. And if you have got headache, may God bless you. May God help you. What God wants us is, realize the fact, you are nobody, you do not exist, you simply assume this existence and ownership and suffer unnecessarily, which never belong to you. This is the idea. Ishvaraha, the Divine Lord, sarva bhutanam hriddeshe tishtati. He is sitting in the hearts of every being. What is the heart here? Which heart is he talking about? We say this, we show this. This is the heart. No. What does heart mean? Heart means samskara. Heart means what? Samskara. It is our samskaras which move us. I want to eat this. Samskaras which affect us. But the first organ to be affected by the samskaras is the what we call physical heart. Oh, like that, you know. When you are happy, you feel it here. When you are unhappy also, where do you feel? Where do you get the shock? Where do you get the shock? In the heart. Yeah, whether you are happy or whether you are unhappy, it is your heart which feels. You feel it here. That's why where do you put your hand? Here, like that. When you made a mistake, then you put, where do you put your head? On the head. Yeah, feeling is here. That is why our heart beats when you are frightened. Or when it is happy also, oh, my beloved has come like that. Yeah, there was this one woman, she was found, she went into the hotel and she found her friend in that same restaurant and sitting near a table and very morose. So the friend asked, why are you so morose? He said, I am feeling so sad. Why are you feeling so sad? He says, you know, me and husband had a quarrel. Oh, so what? His husband got very angry. And he told me, I am not going to speak with you for 30 days. The friend told her, what a marvelous thing to happen. Why are you so sad? That lady replied, I know, but this is the 30th day. All my happy days have come to an end. So you see, whether you feel happy or you feel unhappy, where do we all feel it? In the heart. Hridayeshe Arjuna. That is why, so when you meditate, Hridaya Kamala Madhye Rajitam Nirvikalpam Sat Asat Akhila Vedaditam Ekaswarupam Prakriti Vikriti Shunyam Nityam Anandamurtim Vimala Paramahamsam Ramakrishnam Bhajamaha. Hridaya, our meditation should be Hridaya. Why? Because we feel the presence of the Lord more here than at any other place.
Maharaj, is it because of all our emotions we directed towards God?
Yeah, you know, our heart is the organ which supplies nutrition through the process of blood circulation. It is the heart which beats also. So it is doing it tirelessly, but it takes rest also. So all the emotions are felt here. That's why use this place to elevate, let us feel joy in repeating the name of God, etc. And sadness when we miss God's name. We have to feel sad. And whenever we miss, when do you become sad? When you miss happiness, isn't it? Yeah, God's name is happiness. So when we miss God's name, we feel sad. This is the heart. That is why it is said, Ishvara Sarva Bhutana Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. So this is a verse for our direction. Meditate upon God where? In the heart. Because where is Ishvara sitting? Technically it is not correct, because Ishvara is everywhere. That's why Sri Ramakrishna himself said, this is a very grand place for devotees to meditate upon. Then he gave an analogy. A jamindar, a rich man, he has got huge mansion. He can be anywhere. But usually where is he found? In the drawing room, visitor's room. So that is why the God is easily obtainable. Why people go on a pilgrimage? As though God exists only in Kashi and not here. He exists everywhere. But then why do people go? Because some people, holy people, had awakened God in that particular. Somebody had dug a well. So water is easily available. Otherwise you have to dig a well. So here you have to dig a well. I don't mean, you know. There is a river is there. Yeah, you don't need to. What it means, where there is no water, you have to dig. When somebody has already took the trouble and dug the well and water is found, that means God is more easily available in holy places. So why not take advantage of it? This is the idea. So, Ishvara Sarva Bhutana Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. What is he doing there, sitting there? Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Arudhani Iva Mayaya. As though he mounted all of us on a machine. And he is moving us in infinite variations. Moving us in infinite variations. I remember a funny story. Sorry, means real incident that happened. Ramana Maharshi was becoming very popular. So, some sadhus were there who wanted to become popular. But nobody goes to them because there is nothing in them. So, they thought that they will also become popular. How? By somehow connecting themselves with Ramana Maharshi. So, one day one sadhu came there. And then he said, you know, yesterday night Lord Shiva appeared in my dream and commanded me, you Ramana, that I should initiate you. Otherwise, you will go to the other place. Ramana Maharshi. Because, you know, if he becomes guru of Ramana Maharshi, then he will be honored and all the good things will come to him. Yeah, like that woman who said in the Jairam Bhatti, if only I had married Sri Ramakrishna, today all these things would have been mine. Like that. So, Ramana Maharshi, he never reacts. He is what is called the same. He doesn't react at all because he is observing all this Maya. But one of his disciples, he could not tolerate it. So, he got up and started dancing and then said, yesterday night, Shiva appeared in my dream. He told me that a sadhu will come like this, beat the devil out of him. And then he took it. The moment the other sadhu saw it, this simply ran away. So, the Divine Lord is making all of us, every creature, move. What does this shloka really mean? It means, O Lord, who was sitting until this time? I am sitting. Who was sitting in the heart?
Lord.
We are sitting. I am sitting. Now, having come to know, then we vacate. You know how? You are having an office. You are sitting in your seat. Suddenly, your manager comes. What do? You get up and then vacate. He will come and sit. Hey, did you do this? Yes, sir. I did. Then suddenly, his boss comes. What does he do? Immediately, gets up and then stands aside. Then his boss. Like that, you know, ultimately, the boss of all bosses. Yeah, who is that? God. So, what is our, that is why Swami Bhuteshan Maharaj, he is to tell you very beautiful thing. How should we meditate? He said meditation should be in a particular way. What is it? But now, I am sitting, you see, just observe me. I am sitting here. So, somehow I have a feeling that I am sitting facing you. So, I am sitting here and I am, my consciousness is sitting here facing you. This is our normal experience. What should you do when you are initiated? From now onwards, you see, you go and face. As you are sitting, I have to sit there. And whom do I see? Thakur is sitting here. Now, Thakur is sitting in this. I vacate and then I sit in front of him. I am looking at him. So, I am looking at whom? At myself. Like, you know, in image, in the mirror. Like that, imagine you are looking at a mirror and in your heart, Sri Ramakrishna, you put, if necessary, you put a photograph there. And look at that reflection. And what do you see? You see your reflection, you see your body, and also huge Ramakrishna is sitting there. And if that is not, that doesn't stir your emotions enough, you also take a photograph, put a stick in his hands. If you think otherwise, yeah, I'm going to correct you. Correction, behavior correction. He does it all the time. Whenever we have any problem, that's what he does it. So, Ishvaraha Sarvabhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. What is he doing? Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantrarudhani Mayaya. So, how do we know? He is taking the help of Maya. Maya is his special power. And with that power, he is moving all the pieces in the world. All the pieces. We are all the pieces. You know, like chess player puts his all the pieces. Like that, That is a beautiful meditation. So, what is the implication of it? Implication, first implication, we have to meditate upon Ishvara is where? In the heart. Second implication is, so who is running this show?
He
is running this show. So, who is running this body and mind? He is running the body and mind complex. Third implication is, you realize this fact, so you vacate your seat, or anyway you are not sitting there anyway. You are thinking, you are sitting there. You are not really sitting. So he gave you that implication that Maya, Brahma, that you are sitting there. So you get rid of that and then say, O Lord, it is you who are doing. This is what he says, Shokali, Tomari Icha. इच्छा मई तारा तुमी तोमार कर्म तुमी करो मा लोके बोले हमी करी यस सी व्हाट इज द लॉर्ड टेलिंग इट इज द एसेंस ऑफ द सॉन्ग यू नो ओ मदर एवरीथिंग इज डन बाय योर विल पीपल दे थिंक दे आर डूइंग बट दे आर नॉट यू डू योर ओन एक्शन ए वर्क बट पीपल अननेसेसरली दे एट्रिब्यूट से आई एम डूइंग द वर्क So, what is the sadhana? Get rid of the idea, I am the doer. Who is doing? And this grand Vedantic truth, Sri Ramakrishna summarized. What is Maya? Ami, or is Agyan? Ignorance. What is ignorance? Ami, Amar. Me and mine. What is Jnanam? Knowledge. You, yours. You and yours. This is one of the grandest, one of the best shlokas in the Gita itself. Practically with this, this is Sri Krishna's teachings come to an end. Now comes one more beautiful idea, which is the Lord advises him, if it is true that I am the doer and you are only a puppet, what should be your duty now? Take refuge in me. Means what? Taking refuge in me means give up your ahankara, egotism. And then you say, O Lord, it is thine, it is thee, it is thine, you are doing everything, but please bestow your grace. Please liberate me. This is the Sharanagati he is slowly leading. What is the implication to Arjuna in this context? Oh Arjuna, you decided not to fight. Why? You think you can decide what to do, what not to do. You don't know that there is somebody sitting there and then he is moving you. So this false egotism is not going to work. It is true in each one of our case, but for Arjuna, that means what? Whatever I make you do, you will do. So what I want you to fight. So what about this survival and death and all those things? That whatever happens, it's my will. I had already written the script. Script is written. I am the director. You are merely an actor. And if you think that you can do whatever you like, that's not going to work out. So this is the most beautiful verse in the 18th chapter found, this one. So we will discuss this about Sharanagati, etc. tomorrow and after tomorrow. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So if anybody has got any questions or anything, we can deal with that. Yes.
Sanyasa. You said Mahavagya. And then you said Guru is the father. Can you explain
Mahavagya? You see, every birth, this birth, you had a father and mother. Without father and mother, could you have come into being? No. When you are initiated, say in the Ramakrishna order, then what does your Guru tell you?
Thakur,
Ramakrishna is your father because it's the second birth. Second birth also requires parents. So parents means father and mother. So in the second birth, who is the father? Sri Ramakrishna. Who is the mother? Holy Mother. In the third birth, Sannyasa is the third birth. Sannyasa also there must be two, father and mother. So who is the mother and who is the father? The Mahavakya is the mother. And the guru who gives that Mahavakya, like father gives the seed, that guru is the father.
And Mahavakya?
Mahavakya means
the Brahmasmi.
Yeah, four. There are so many hundreds of Mahavakyas, not four. But among them, four have been chosen because they, from four Vedas, they have chosen one. That's why they are four. So, Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, Prajnanam, Brahma, I am Atma, Brahma. These are the four Mahavakyas. That is it.
There is Upanayana Samskara right? At
yes.
That time they will do the Upadesha of Gayatri.
Yeah.
So is that considered as another birth, right?
Upanayana. Yes, that is why they are called Dvijas.
Dvijas. But what about getting a, even though he will be practicing the Gayatri mantras.
Huh.
What about getting the another mantra Upanishad from?
It is again second birth only, but only this time you have identified mother. Supposing if you are initiated in our order, then your guru will tell you, Holy Mother is your mother. You are a child of mother, and Sri Ramakrishna is your father. You are their child. This is what you are told. So it doesn't conflict with the. What you call, what is Gayatri mantra? It is also a mantra which tells you, you please, O mother, please guide my understanding. So, this is a more concrete expression. You can meditate upon this. It doesn't conflict. So, who is Ramakrishna? Who is Holy Mother? She is the Gayatri mantra. And who is Ramakrishna? He is the guru through whom this Sri Ramakrishna works through the Guru. Is it not? Who is the Guru? God alone is the Guru. Who is Sri Ramakrishna? God. You see, do you see the point? There is no conflict at all. A second mantra to repeat, but it is still second birth only. So supposing your mother has got two names, your father also has got two names. It is like that. Same thing, same principle.
You mentioned yesterday that people act as per their gunas, right?
Yes.
But what do you think about the food or external environment's effect on the people to control their gunas?
Yeah. That is why in the previous chapter, 17th chapter, a very clear guideline is given to us. Which type of guna which type of food belongs to which type of guna, or eating which type of food increases which type of guna. This kind of food, if you go on eating, then this tamo guna will increase. This type of food, if you go on eating, this guna will increase. This type of food, if you eat, sattva guna will increase. These details have been given. So, this is a summary. So, our food habits, our body, our activities, our intelligence, our everything is guided or shaped by three gunas. Is the simplest fact. That is what makes the difference between one human being and another. One is tamasic, one is rajasic, and another is sattvic. You can see the differences. Of course, you can also see the same differences in the same person, either every day or occasionally, from time to time. Yeah, when we are children, which guna? Kajer madhe dui. Kayar shui. That is what which guna? Tamo guna. And when the same child grows up and starts running after the girls. Yeah, you know, peculiar thing, the boys are running after the girls. The girls are trackers apparently running away from the boys, even now and then looking whether the distance is closing or not, and pacing their speed accordingly. So, which guna?
Rajoguna.
Yes. And then, after 60 years of that life, hi Ram, whole of life is gone. So, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Which guna? That's why somebody asks me, Swami, when does a person become Vedanti? My answer is, when a person becomes Vedanti, then he becomes a Vedanti. You understand, Padmanabhan? When a person loses all the teeth, then he is called Vedanti. When he becomes, when a man becomes Vedanti, then he becomes a Vedanti. You see, you know, that is why Ravanasura, Kumbhakarna, Ravanasura and Vibhishana illustrating three gunas. And within one of us, when we are small, we are Kumbhakarnas. When we are young, we are Ravanasuras. And when we are old, we are Vibhishanas. Supposed to be. Sometimes we still remain Ravanasuras only, and it will take long time. You follow the point? Gunas can be changed. We have to change our habits, not only food. It's got so many things. And you do something this way, if you do, you are a Sattvika Guna Sampanna. The way we do it, what type of attitude we have, everything has to be changed, not only food. If you simply change food, then its effect is very small. The whole total, it slowly, 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 change has to be brought along. Yeah. So, anything else? All questions finished? So, what did we discuss today? Can somebody summarize in two sentences, two, three sentences?
That God alone is the doer, He alone is the enjoyer or the experiencer. Yeah. It's by Maya that we think that we are doing everything. And the solitude, going into solitude and all those, I don't know exactly all the things, doing all of those gives us the understanding, makes us progress in our spirituality.
Lord sits in the heart.
Lord
sits in the heart of the devotees.
Yeah.
And Lord is running the show.
Yeah.
And so we should offer our hearts to the Lord. Guide all our actions.
Okay.
Ami jantri, tumi jantri.
Ami rotho, tumi
rotho.
Very good. The Lord is full of duality, good and bad. So, bad will come, but bad is sometimes good.
Yeah, that's a point we discussed.
Yes.
There will be good and evil. That is why Vedanta gives a special teaching. Whatever we may do, we are not going to eliminate the evil. Because the evil is nothing but another interpretation of an event. Same event will be interpreted, those who are profiting as good and those who are not profiting as evil. Is that point clear?
Yes.
Not two events. Interpretation of same event. Yeah. Okay, we will summarize. I will tell you a small, very beautiful interpretation of Ramayana. Just a few minutes to wrap this up. Rama chose Hanuman. What did Hanuman do? He jumped over the ocean and found Sita and reassured Sita. Half burnt Lanka, he jumped back and then took Rama and Lakshmana on his shoulders and made Rama and Sita unite. This is the Ramayana story.
Can you repeat that one
thing? The whole thing, later on. So, this is the story. The interpretation is, two interpretations are there. See, Ramakrishna gives an interpretation, which is from Adhyatma Ramayana. What is it? Sri Rama is walking in the Dandakaranya. Sita is walking after him. Lakshmana is walking behind Rama and Sita. So that is the interpretation given by Adhyatma Ramayana, which Sri Ramakrishna has read, and he said that is his interpretation. What is it? Aranya means dangerous place, samsara, the life. So Sri Rama is the Paramatma, Sita is Maya, and Lakshmana is the Jivatma. So Jivatma longs for Paramatma. But unfortunately, Mahamaya stands on the way. So he prays every now and then, O Mother, I want to see my Lord. Please bestow your grace. Means what? Get the hell out of the way. That's what it means. So now and then, she stands aside and says, you will now enjoy your divine Lord to your heart's content. This is Adhyatma Ramayana's interpretation. Whereas in South India, another version is there. Slightly different. Here, you know, the ocean. What is the ocean? Samsara Sagara. This life is the samsara, is an ocean. Very difficult to cross. Who can cross? Only the agent of Paramatma can cross. Ravana is Maya. Sita is the Jivatma. Jivatma has been separated. By whom? By Mahamaya. Sita was always with Rama. But Sita was kidnapped by Mahamaya. He took her to his realm, which is the realm of Maya. And she is pining for Sri Rama. Then Sri Rama knows. Then what did he do? He sent Hanuman. Who is Hanuman? The Guru. South Indian tradition. Hanuman is the Guru. That's why he gives signet, gives authority. You go. And Hanuman crosses the ocean. Crosses the ocean means what? He himself has crossed the ocean of Maya. Otherwise he can't be a Guru. And then he comes and then reassures Sita that Sri Rama is loves you, he will very soon come to you and he will rescue you. Do not worry. And then what does he do? He burns half the Lanka. Means he practically burns half the samskaras of the Jivatma. And then he goes back. Because Guru's function is only to take Jivatma to God. So he goes and then he carries Rama and Lakshmana, means Paramatma. What is Rama? Paramatma. What is Lakshmana? In this case, Adhyatma Lakshanas. All the Upanishads, we chanted Shanti Mantra in the Chandogya Upanishad. Those dharmas which have been propounded in the Upanishads, let them be within in me, let them be in me. So, all those dharmas, that is called Lakshmana. I will tell you something nice also. So, wherever there is God, there will be these characteristics. Wherever these characteristics are there, there will be God. So Hanuman, Guru, he brings both God as well as his characteristics, carrying in him. And then he destroys Ravanasura, means Ajnana. And then Rama and Sita are united. Then they go back. That is, Rama's work is over. So Hanuman is the Guru. So Lakshmana, who is Lakshmana? See, and Rama was sent in the forest for hunting the golden deer. And what happened is, Sita, in her Ajnana, he says, you go and you help Rama. So Lakshmana says, nothing is wrong is going to happen to Rama. He is God. Nobody can do anything to God. But she doesn't believe. So she accuses him. You go away. Then you know what he does before going? He draws a line and says, now step outside this line. So long as you are within that line, no Maya can capture you. What is that line? Lakshman Rekha, we call it. What is that line? Dharmic life. So long as you are within the boundaries of this dharma, no adharma can ever catch you. But then what does she do? She steps outside the boundaries. That means when God leaves us, that means we step outside. Yeah. Then we have got no faith in God. We do what we like. Immediately, a man loses faith in God. He loses faith in morality. He loses faith in hope. He loses faith in future. All these are implicated in that word God. And immediately, a man takes, because he can't help. He wants to forget himself. Only thing is, go down and down and down. That is the Lakshman Rekha. All right. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.